This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innal hamdalillah wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters and friends. And we are going to be talking about a very important topic, which is about the high intents or the higher objectives or the objectives of Islamic law. In other words, the philosophy of Islamic law. This is something that I'm interested in, I don't know much about, and that's why we have with us today our beloved Sheikh Haytham Al-Haddad. May Allah bless him and preserve him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair, brother Hamza. May Allah jalla wa ala reward you.
Ameen. You too, Sheikh. Jazakallah for coming down. So, I remember almost 15 years ago, I sat in a session with you concerning the maqasid, the objectives of Islamic law. And I found it so fascinating the way you presented it. I don't remember much, but because I like philosophy and that type of stuff, I really found the way you framed it very, it was intellectual, but it was profound. And this is why I want the audiences to understand this topic, so they understand the superiority of Islamic law, but also its application across time, and that it facilitates human flourishing in a dunya sense, in a worldly sense, and an akhira sense. So let's start with the basics. You're teaching me this now, yeah? And therefore teaching the audience. What is maqasid? What is this topic? Give me an understanding of what this is. Start from the basics and we start unpacking the complexity.
Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair, brother Hamza. Of course, we have a limited time, so there is an introduction that I might need to not go through it. Okay, I might need to omit in order to get into the topic in this 1 hour. First of all, what do we mean by maqasid? Maqasid, just simply, the higher aims of Islam, the higher aims of Sharia, the higher aims of the Islamic law. What do we mean by that? We mean, or what it means, does Islam intend to achieve something behind the details, the detailed laws that we have? Does Islam want to achieve something behind the detailed laws that we have? So, let us talk generally. Now, we know that Islam commanded us to worship Allah Jalla wa'ala. Islam commanded us to establish Tawheed. Islam commanded us to establish the 5 daily prayers.
Yes.
Islam commanded us to do mu'amalat in a particular way.
The social transactions.
The social transactions and the financial transactions as well. Does Islam want us to achieve certain goals behind all of this? This is what it means. Now, when we say, obviously, Islam is not an arbitrary religion. It's not an arbitrary way of life. Definitely, Islam wants us to do these particular, whether rituals or to follow certain guidelines in terms of financial transactions, social transactions. Islam wants us to achieve certain goals. Definitely. The second question comes. Those goals, are they goals limited to this life? Or are they goals limited to the hereafter? Or are they goals for both, this life and the hereafter? And so this is just the overview. Now, how do we know that Islam is really trying, logically, as we said, Islam aims to achieve certain goals?
Yes.
Logically, a great religion that managed to build the greatest civilization known to humankind.
Yes.
And managed to survive and flourish.
Yes.
In different cultures, and take over other civilizations. So it has a level of civilization that goes beyond the Roman civilization, goes beyond the Persian civilization, goes beyond any other civilization. And even currently now, the civilizations that we are witnessing now, we still, as Muslims who understand Islam, we feel that Islam is far superior than those civilizations. Mm. Maybe we could not prove it physically, but intellectually, we can prove it and we believe in it. So if Islam, forget about the situation now, but Islam managed to flourish and take over different civilizations and be a better replacement for those civilizations. Mm. So definitely Islam has certain goals, certain higher aims and objectives to achieve. This is logically. Now, if someone said, okay, but is this mentioned in Quran and Sunnah? This is like the simplistic way of approaching such matters. And you know, some of our brothers, they out of simplicity, they think that, oh, unless you show it to me in the Quran directly and you show it to me in the Sunnah directly, I'm not going to believe in it, which is a very simplistic approach, to be honest with you. And I want our brothers to be more, you know, intellectual than this simplistic approach. Mm. Be careful. I'm not saying that asking for a dalil from Quran and Sunnah is a simplistic way. No, no, no. I am asking that sometimes the dalil from Quran and Sunnah is not what we think of, that Allah Jalla wa'ala explicitly says that the Sharia has aims and objectives. Some people think sure. that the dalil is this. No, the dalil, yes, is definitely is taken from Quran and Sunnah, but the way the dalil is understood needs some intellectual exercise.
Yes, yeah. It's like you're developing an usul almost, or a exactly. set of principles. And it's an aqidah issue, it could yeah. be, because Allah is al-Hakim.
Yes,
he definitely. He is the wise. Allah has the totality of knowledge and wisdom. He has the picture, we've got the pixel. To say now the law has no higher wisdom or divine wisdom is going against basic creed.
Excellent. Yes. So this is a dalil.
Yes.
And some people might say
it's a principle as well, that it creates a frame to understand the specifics.
Absolutely. Yes. But what I mean is, some brothers, out of simplicity, they say, mm-hmm. Where is this? You told me that Allah is al-Hakim, but this is not a dalil. This is what I'm saying. No, it is a dalil.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It is a dalil. Don't be just over. Don't be shallow in your understanding, in mm-hmm. your approach. Okay, so this is absolutely, you, as you said, it's a matter of aqidah. This is the most important dalil. But we have even more closer adilla.
Okay.
Yeah. And how to extract those adilla or proofs from Quran and Sunnah? We need to see, to survey the Quran and Sunnah, and to see where Allah Jalla wa'ala mentioned that I have done all of this in order to do something. Mm. Yeah. So I have something like I have revealed Sharia and Islamic law to achieve this. Mm-hmm. Something like this. I have sent prophets to achieve this. So if we find something like this in the Quran, then we say, oh yes, it is in the Quran. These are the higher aims and objectives of Sharia, or the intent of, or the divine intention.
Yes.
Yes, the divine intention. What Allah Jalla wa'ala wanted to tell us.
Yes.
What is that? Of course, quote unquote, the intention. Yes. Yes. Is it right to say that divine intention? But let us use it in a very, metaphorical way.
Sure.
Okay. We see, in fact, there are so many verses in the Quran that talk about what we just mentioned. One verse that is known for everyone, and we always quote it, the verse of Surah Al-Dhariyat. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I created jinn and ins for. Mm. I want them. I created them, and this is what I want from them, which is what? Ibadah.
Yes, to worship Allah.
To worship Allah Jalla wa'ala. Yeah. And then Allah Jalla wa'ala confirmed this. مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ. I don't want anything that is physical.
He doesn't need provision.
And he doesn't need provision. He needs, and he doesn't need ibadah. He created us to worship him. Of course,
absolutely.
Him.
Allah is al-ghani. He is exactly. rich. He's free. He's al-samad, the absolutely independent.
And even
we are dependent on him.
And even if we don't worship him, that will not add anything to him. That will not take anything from Allah.
It's good for us.
Is exactly. And that is also linked to the maqasid of Sharia, by the way.
And it's good for the in the dunya and the akhirah.
In the akhirah, yes. So this is one verse. Yes. Also, we see some other verses. Allah Jalla Ala also, because this is related to creation. So some people might say, but this is related to the purpose of creation.
Yes.
To worship Allah Jalla Ala. Also, we see another verse of Surah Lam Yakun Alladhina Kafaru. Allah Jalla Ala says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حَنَفًا وَيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ. They were commanded to worship Allah Jalla Ala. So Allah Jalla Ala here is talking about his commandments, the purpose of commandments, not the purpose of creation.
Okay.
And all of both are the same. So the Qadr Kawni, the Qadr Shari'i are the same. So no one can say, but that is the purpose of creation, not the purpose of Sharia. No, the purpose of Sharia is the same thing, because Allah Jalla Ala says what? They were commanded to worship Allah Jalla Ala alone.
Yes.
Okay. We can, in fact, the more we investigate, the more we see similar verses. Allah Jalla Ala says in Surah Al-Hadid, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. This is really interesting. And, okay. This is really interesting. Allah Jalla Ala said, we have sent prophets. So now when we listen to this, we need to pay attention. Oh, so now this is the very part that we are talking about.
Yes.
The very matter that we are talking about. That Allah Jalla Ala is talking about sending what? Prophets. All prophets. لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ. We sent them with proofs, and we sent with them the book and the mizan. Okay, interesting. Why, Ya
to
Allah?
To establish justice.
The mizan. And then Allah Jalla Ala says what? لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. To establish justice.
Allahu Akbar.
To establish justice. Oh, subhanallah. And then Allah Jalla Ala further said, لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. Yeah? لِيَقُومَ وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ وَرُسُلَهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. And for Allah wants to see who is fighting for his cause in order to aid the religion of Allah Jalla Ala. Okay, so this is another purpose that Allah Jalla Ala wants to see who are what? Who are sacrificing for him. Okay, interesting. So now we added what? So we had ibadah. We had what? Establishing justice.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we see establishing justice throughout the Quran.
Yes.
Allah Jalla Ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. This is a major commandment in Surah An-Nisa. Allah commands you to what? To fulfill the trust. Yes. أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْقِسْطِ. That you judge between people according to justice. We see also another important key verse that even it was attributed that some of the khulafa said we need to read this verse in surah, in the khutbah of Jum'ah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله تعالى عنه, who was a great Sahabi and he was a scholar, he said this is the most comprehensive verse in the Quran in terms of halal and haram. And many other scholars said something similar. Allah Jalla wa'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ, Allah commands you to establish what? Justice. And to go one step before, be above justice, which is what? Ihsan.
Ihsan, yes.
Justice, you take your right, I take my right. Ihsan, what does it mean?
With goodness, excellence.
Aha. And in excellence, above justice. Absolutely. So above the minimum. Justice is the minimum.
For example, you go to some Arab marketplaces or in North Africa and they give you, you want to buy some dates. And what they do, they throw extra dates just in case.
Yes.
That's a nice example.
Or they give you more.
They give you more, yes. So they throw a few more just so it's over the balance, so they didn't cheat you. Yeah?
Yes.
They're absolutely sure that they've kept the kind of social justice transaction.
Even let us take about more examples. Yes. In courts. Yeah, in courts. Courts are meant to establish justice, not to maintain ihsan. Mm. Islam says, you took your right, I take my right, but it's good to what? To forgive.
Yes, of course.
Forgiveness is part of ihsan.
Yes.
Yeah?
It's a higher virtue.
It has a higher virtue. And mercy is part of ihsan. And this is unique for Islam. No other religion, by the way, no other system has this value. Yeah, Islam is stressing on this.
Reminds me of the verse, Sheikh, and this obviously we know the backstory concerning Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, but it's one of my favorite verses. Forgive and overlook. Do you not want Allah to forgive your
sins? Exactly.
So forgiving others is connected to Allah forgiving you.
Exactly, yes.
I remember when someone came up to me.
تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ فَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah? Afu and saf and forgiveness. And the story that you were referring, the story of Abu Bakr.
Yes.
And it is his right to stop spending on the person who insulted his daughter.
Absolutely.
He can. Anyway, it was a sadaqah from him. So he's not obliged to, let alone that this person, you know, insulted my daughter or accused her of something. Allah Jalla Ala said, no, Abu Bakr, you are a higher person.
Absolutely.
Yeah? Forgive.
And overlook.
Okay. And overlook.
Do you not want Allah to forgive your sins?
To forgive
your
sins.
So Allah is connecting it to His forgiveness.
Absolutely.
Which in a way, when you forgive, you gain everything.
Yes. So these are higher aims and objectives of Sharia. So we added now what? Al-Adl. Justice. Establishing justice. So we mentioned the ibadah of Allah Jalla Ala. Okay.
Yeah, worshipping Allah.
Worshipping Allah Jalla Ala. And we mentioned establishing justice.
Justice, yes.
Okay. We see also some other verses. Okay. So we see, for example, that Allah Jalla Ala says, خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. He created death and life. Oh, now this is something big. What for, Ya Allah? To test you. So this is
to see who's best in conduct.
Exactly. So this is another aim. Okay. We see Allah Jalla Ala saying in the Quran in Surah Al-Ahzab. Yes. Allah Jalla Ala says, "Inna aradna al-amanata 'ala as-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal fa'abayna an yahmilnaha." We have presented the amana, the commandments of Allah Jalla Ala on heavens and earth. They declined. They could not carry it. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. The human beings, they carried that because they don't know what are the consequences. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Then what did Allah Jalla Ala say? Allah Jalla Ala said, لِيُعَذِّبَ اللَّهُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ نَوَ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ وَيَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. So Allah Jalla Ala wants to punish the hypocrites and the disbelievers, and Allah Jalla Ala wants to repent, to accept the repentance of that believers. So this is another higher aim, because Allah Jalla Ala said, this is what I did. I presented the commandments, my commandments, which is something major, something, you know, fundamental. Okay, we can, but these are now the main verses. There are some other connected verses to them. Now, this means that we have one aim is to worship Allah Jalla Ala. Another aim is to what?
Establish
justice. Another aim is to be tested. Allah Jalla Ala wants to test us.
To be forgiven.
To be forgiven. Mm. This is connected to testing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are these aims connected or not? And the reality is that, yes, they are connected.
Yes.
Worshipping Allah Jalla Ala truly will lead to what? Establishing justice.
Justice. Because worshipping Allah is not just a private matter.
Exactly.
It's individual, social, political.
Everything.
Yes.
So that will lead to establishing justice.
Mm.
Which means that if you don't worship Allah Jalla Ala, it is very unlikely that you will not establish justice. And
so if you don't worship Allah properly, you won't establish justice.
Yes.
If you worship Allah properly, holistically, you will establish justice.
You will establish justice. And this is what we see, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was asked about the greatest sin, yeah? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is to what? To associate someone, mm-hmm. to worship someone.
Shirk, yeah.
Yes? While Allah is the only one who what? Who provided you.
Mm.
And Allah Jalla wa Ala called shirk ظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ.
The greatest oppression, the greatest injustice.
Injustice.
Yes.
So, which means that injustice is a holistic term.
Mm.
Yeah? Which means that justice is connected to ibadah. Ibadah, true ibadah, as you said, is connected to justice. Justice, holistic justice again.
Yes.
Holistic justice, not as we understand it. Therefore, the ibadah and establishing justice, yeah, they are like two sides of one coin.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah? It is the same reality. Establishing justice truly, yeah, cannot happen unless you what? Surrender to a superpower.
Yes.
Allah Jalla Ala. Because we know, yeah, now we are talking a little bit more philosophical. We know, Ya Sheikh Hamza, that human beings, if they don't believe in a superpower above them to keep them under awe, they will commit injustice.
Yes.
Yes. And by the way, this is now even Western and philosophical are talking about this. You know, when they killed George Floyd, this discussion came again, which is that, you know, the power of police, power breeds injustice, power breeds corruption. And then the discussion came again, how to make sure that power does not lead to corruption and injustice. And we have seen now, yes, alhamdulillah, yani congratulations to our brothers and sisters in Syria. Congratulations for the entire Muslim Ummah that we got rid of this dictator.
Yes.
Dictators normally will commit what? Injustice because of the arrogance of power.
Yes.
We have seen this in Fir'aun. In fact, are you telling me that America doesn't cause injustice? They are the cause of the global injustice in the world.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so power breeds injustice, and this is, you know,
it can, yes,
no, it is definitely going to lead to injustice unless
you have a delegated authority from the one who's the source of all power, Allah.
Yes, but put it this, I like to put it in this way, unless they believe that there is a superpower above them that will hold them accountable for what they do.
Absolutely.
Yeah? And
we had this in our history. You have the famous righteous caliph, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, when he said, "Oh people, put wheat on the top of the mountains so the people don't say we kept the birds hungry."
Hungry,
they
yes.
They were worried not only about serving human the human beings, they're worried about the animals.
Animals.
SubhanAllah.
Yes. And see, you know, Thomas Hobbes, 1660 something. Yeah. He, in his book, The Leviathan, yeah, he mentioned something. He said, if there are two powers, yeah, fighting to acquire something that cannot be divided between both of them, they will end up what? In a state of war, unless there is what? There is a power above them to keep them under awe. And this is what Allah Jalla wa Ala says in the beginning of the revelation. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم كلا إن الإنسان لا يطغى أن رآه استغنى. Human beings will transgress if they see what? Themselves self-sufficient. Now there is a point here. I know, يعني bit of tangent, but it is a fundamental point. Muslims, are the only people who are qualified to have power, and to become a superpower without committing injustice.
Yes, because we have a worldview that we believe to be true, and we could prove it to be true. And we hold principle. We're not going to make our God in the morning and eat him in the evening. Like you see this with what happened in Gaza. So-called humanitarian law, international law. All of a sudden, it's nothing now.
Exactly.
It's just basically veils to hide the arrogance of the current superpowers. But in Islamic tradition, we have our non-negotiables. We can't go beyond these red lines. And Allah said something. We have to be just to these people, to all people. We cannot transgress that because we're going to be held accountable.
Yes, that is the key point, because you know that you are going to be held accountable. And not only held accountable, look at the justice of Allah. Allah Jalla wa Ala, as it was mentioned in the hadith, Allah Jalla wa Ala forgives the sin between you, between us and him. But the sins between us and other human beings, Allah Jalla wa Ala doesn't forgive them unless the other human beings forgives. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, if there is any injustice between you and your brother in the dunya, try to reconcile now before what? Before the day of resurrection, where the reconciliation is not taking place, by physical, by money, by hasanat. And we know that, your hasanat will be given to those whom you committed injustice to. And once you run out of hasanat, their sayyat will be put on your shoulders and the person will be thrown in the fire of hell. Unless he truly repented to Allah Jalla wa Ala, then this is the mercy of Allah Jalla wa Ala. Allah Jalla wa Ala will help him to reconcile with the other person. So, in summary, we see that Allah Jalla wa Ala mentioned among his intent.
Yes.
Which is the higher aims and objectives of his sharia, of his revelation. Okay? To worship him. To establish justice. Now, and to test human beings.
Yes.
What is the link between all these three? In fact, as we said, it is just like two sides of one coin.
Yes.
Establishing justice comes through submission to Allah Jalla wa Ala alone.
And submitting to Allah, obeying his commands, is an expression of worship.
Exactly. And by the way, establishing justice, see, just a quick point. Can human beings establish justice without revelation? This is a big question. We can discuss it later.
Yes.
Which is related to tahsin and taqbih aqli. The Mu'tazila debate, etc. And I'll give you a summary for that. Values can be seen, including justice, can be seen of two circles. The core of the values, and the outer circle of the values. The core of the values, it is the rahmah of Allah Jalla wa Ala that human beings were born, created upon fitrah. So
the
natural disposition. So they know the core, Allah Jalla wa Ala put in them the core values.
For example, the broad category of justice, we have an intuitive understanding of what that means.
Exactly. So, for example, we see that any human beings, he would see what the Syrian regime have done to his people, that this is injustice.
Yes.
No
you
one
don't need revelation for that.
You don't need revelation for that. Any human being would see. Any human being, he would say that when a big man is killing a small boy, that this is injustice. You don't need revelation.
And to say that you need revelation for these kind of intuitive, basic, fundamental values is making a mockery out of revelation, because Allah uses these words in a way that the target audience would understand.
Yes.
So why is Allah using the word justice? What is it?
Yes, because should be
it's
known.
It's so funny, I can't even communicate it.
Yes.
Like, when Allah says rahmah, when he says justice, when he says ihsan, the target audience, which is obviously in general humanity, but also the Arabs of the time, they understood what that meant.
Yes, generally in general, speaking. Yes.
But there are specifics which revelation informs.
Exactly.
Okay, this is very
good. So the specifics now, which is the outer circle. So this person who killed a child, what is justice? To kill him? Life for life? Or to imprison him? Okay, to imprison him for 20 years? Is this justice? 30 years?
Yeah.
10 years?
Because you're punishing the family as well. So is
okay.
That,
you know, so where is justice?
Absolutely. So the specifics is from revelation.
So now we need what? Revelation in order to tell us what the details of this value.
But
of
this
justice
means there's a role of the aql, of the intellect here.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Who said that the aql is discarded?
No, I'm not.
Who said that we should not?
You know, amongst our community, they're like, when it comes to issues of law, commands, revelation, like, ignore the aql.
No. This is maybe we'll have another podcast to talk about the role of aql.
Sure.
No. Allah Jalla Ala praised aql.
Absolutely.
In the Quran, as our Sheikh Ja'far Idris, may Allah Jalla Ala give him good health and long life.
I mean.
He said, show me in the Quran that Allah Jalla Ala spoke or condemned aql or spoke negatively about aql. Impossible. No. Okay. So now higher aims, and they are all connected. What about testing people? Testing people is embedded in the ibadah.
Yes.
So Allah Jalla wa Ala created a human being to test them whether they are going to worship him or not.
Yes, and the way you react to the test is
by worshiping Allah Jalla wa Ala.
Yes. So this is the test. You do it in a way that Allah wants you to react to the test.
And by the way, Sheikh Shanqiti, rahimahullah, he said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِعْبُدُونَ I created jinn and ins to worship me. He said, to test them whether they are going to worship me or not. So this is, you know, that's why we say the dalil. Don't just read it and think that this is a dalil. Don't be oversimplistic. There is a hidden meaning. Yeah, and you have to understand how to extract the meanings from the Quran.
Deep, because the whole concept of worship, the whole concept of ibadah, abada, which means subjugation, but many of the ulama, Ibn Kathir, Ibn Taymiyyah, and others, they said this is the peak of love and the peak of submission.
Yes.
It's love and submission.
Yes.
So
yes,
all of this is embedded within it is love as well, loving Allah.
Yeah. That this is, now we will come to this as a second.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, a second. Sure, but let us establish that, okay. Now, we established that the higher aims and objectives of ibadah is to definitely worship Allah Jalla Ala. I like to put it like this. And worshipping Allah Jalla Ala is a test for us.
Mm.
And worshipping Allah Jalla Ala is the only way to establish justice.
Yes.
Okay? And part of establishing justice is to promote anything that is good and to what? To prohibit anything that is bad.
Yes.
It is connected to justice. Some people see that it is connected to justice. Some people say, no, we need to mention it as a separate aim.
What is ihsan?
Goodness, ihsan,
excellence.
Yes. No, this is maybe a little bit different.
Okay.
Why? The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ in hadith Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I was sent to perfect what?
The akhlaq.
The akhlaq. So the Prophet ﷺ said, this was my mission.
To perfect, which means we already understand there is a basic understanding of what
of
good
akhlaq,
morals and
but
and
I want
is
to perfect them.
Yes.
Which
okay,
means
good.
That one of
enhance.
The ones of the one of the high aims and objectives of Islam is to perfect people's character.
Excellent.
Which is, so now we have ibadah, we have establishing justice, we have promoting anything that is good and forbidding that is evil.
But also,
this is the summary of the higher aims and objectives of Sharia.
But isn't also in Surah Al-Baqarah, I think verse 30, you have, for example, when Allah says, I'm going to send down a vicegerent on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that also a maqsad, an objective?
Okay.
To take care of earth?
Okay.
On every level, environment, politics, spirituality, society, family.
Let us come to
that. The vicegerent, yeah.
Okay.
Is it connected, Sheikh?
It is connected. It is connected. Let us come to that. But now, when you think about it, to worship Allah Jalla Ala, and worshipping Allah Jalla Ala is the only way to establish full justice.
Mm.
So now we want to establish justice on earth and to promote anything that is good and to forbid anything that is evil.
Mm.
This is all what is needed to what? To do this khilafah, this imara of ard.
Yes.
Of this.
The earth.
Of
the
this world. Earth, of the world.
Yes.
What is it? What do we need? Yes. To establish justice, to promote whatever is good, and to prohibit what is evil. And now, look.
But justice is also here connected to rahmah, right?
Justice.
Because of the ihsan element as well, as you mentioned the ayah previously. So it's not like, because I don't want people to think the English word justice in a kind of secular sense. In Islam, is far more comprehensive. It's linked to goodness. It's linked to mercy.
That's why we said,
yes.
Yeah, that's why we said, worship Allah Jalla Ala leads to establishing justice and promoting whatever is good.
Good. Yep.
So ihsan, rahmah is part of that.
Yes.
And prohibits anything that is what? Evil. And these are the qualities of the ummah. Allah Jalla Ala says, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas." Why you are the best nation ever raised to mankind? Because you enjoin what is good and prohibits what is evil.
You
believe in Allah Jalla Ala. Okay. Now let us go one step further. You know, you asked me in the break about what the scholars mentioned.
Yes. What are the maqasid? Because they categorize them in certain categories, like preservation of life.
Yes.
Preservation of religion.
Yes.
Preservation of lineage.
Good.
Preservation of the mind.
Yes.
And so on and so forth.
Let us discuss this before I go one step further.
But this is not static in the Islamic tradition.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
This is one thing. Now, see, preservation of life, preservation of wealth, preservation of mind, intellect, preservation of honor. These, they were mentioned by Ghazali. Ghazali died 505. And then...
After Hijrah.
After Hijrah, yes, sorry. And then Ibn Taymiyyah, these are milestones in the discussion of Maqasid.
In the development of the
Maqasid. In the development of Maqasid as a science.
Yes.
The Maqasid were there.
Yes.
Okay? So Ghazali mentioned this, rahimahullah. Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned some other Maqasid. He mentioned testing as a maqsad. He mentioned perfection of akhlaq as a maqsad. Yeah?
That's beautiful.
Exactly. And then no one, Shatibi also spoke about maqasid.
Mm-mm.
Yeah? Spoke about maqasid in a general sense, but he did not say maqasid al-sharia are as follows.
Mm.
He didn't say this. Even Ghazali didn't mention this. Even Ibn Taymiyyah didn't mention this. They all what they mentioned is والشريعة تقصد تقصدوا الشريعة ترمي. شريعة intends to do this.
Yes.
Islamic law wants to achieve this. Yeah. Then until recently, the Allal al-Fasi, one of the Tunisian scholars, along with Al-Tahir ibn Ashur, they started to talk. This is 80 years ago, around 80 years ago, they started to speak about what? To speak about the Maqasid, and they celebrated what Ibn what Al-Ghazali mentioned, which is the five higher aims and objectives of Sharia. And then the world celebrated that, or the scholars celebrated that more and more, which is preservation of life.
Yes.
Sorry, preservation of religion, preservation of life, preservation of intellect, preservation of wealth, preservation of honor. And they said Sharia came to achieve this.
And preservation of lineage.
Of lineage, yes. Now, we say, yes, Sharia came to achieve this, but you cannot say that these are the higher aims and objectives of Sharia.
It's not the only ones. It you can expand them.
Yeah, it is the only ones, but they, in fact, they are they are of the second more detailed levels after the higher aims and objectives of Sharia that we mentioned, which is what?
Which oh, is I see. Ibadah of so Allah Jalla wa Ala. Is, in a way, the core.
Yes, the very high objectives. The very high
and
aims.
The other ones are expressions of them.
Yes.
And there could be more.
Yes, definitely. There are more.
So the question here is, Sheikh, how did they develop the maqasid?
Say, okay, so, for example, I'm really astonished why they didn't mention establishing justice as a maqsad, although it is very clear in the Quran. And by the way, from an academic perspective, once I mentioned this in front of some academics, يعني, doctors in usul al-fiqh, and they said, there must be a reason, Sheikh, but, you know, this preservation of religion lead to that. I said, okay, if they lead to that, we should mention first what? Establishing justice as the higher aim. Not to just to mention what leads to that.
This is very interesting.
Especially establishing justice is the language that the Quran used more than preservation of religion, preservation of life, preservation of wealth and honor. Yeah? Mention it as what? As a higher aim of Sharia. I'll tell you something else. Where is security? Amen. Peace.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah? Where is it? In those aims, yeah, they say preservation of life. Okay, so mention first of all that establishing justice, which leads to peace.
I think as well, Chef, I'm just thinking aloud from an analytical perspective, they came from an environment when you had Islam as the dominant ideological force, you had relative security and peace, and maybe they weren't thinking on a macro level,
maybe
because they lived in that system.
Maybe, but
but you, for
this
example,
this is a good an excuse.
So you from an analytical perspective, you have in a way the luxury of being outside of that. Well, it's not luxury because we want it back.
Yeah.
But I'm using that words from an intellectual perspective that you have now the ability to think that way because we don't have that establishment of the deen.
Okay, I understand that. Let us accept it as an excuse.
Yeah.
But okay, but that
it's
doesn't
an interesting
mean
insight. Sure.
Yes, yeah. But that doesn't mean that we get stuck with that. Yeah?
Agreed.
And the interesting thing, one brother, he was a doctor in usul al-fiqh, he said, "Wallahi Sheikh, what you mentioned is one of the thinkers mentioned it, Muhammad Amara." And he sent me a long essay by Sheikh Muhammad Amara, the Egyptian thinker and the scholar, where he said why the maqsid of justice was not mentioned. And then he surveyed the Quran and the Sunnah, and he said it is a clear maqsid in the Quran and Sunnah. Why did they didn't celebrate it?
Yeah, I mean, as you previously mentioned, it could be the case that the maqasid that we just mentioned of Al-Ghazali, may Allah have mercy on him, it's implied that if you preserve life and deen, you're preserving justice.
Maybe.
And
by the way, Al-Ghazali, he didn't made those as the higher aims and objectives of Sharia. He didn't say, and the higher aims and objectives of Sharia is preservation of deen, etc., etc. He didn't make it like this. In fact, the ilm of maqasid as a separate science is relatively new. Relatively new. In fact, not relatively, it is new.
Sure.
Those who, Tahir ibn Ashur and Alal al-Fasi, as we said, they died in 1360s Hijrah,
yes,
which is almost 80 years ago.
Yes.
They celebrated this, and then this ilm al-maqasid became a separate independent science.
Yes.
Of course, it doesn't mean that it did it not exist. It did exist, but like usul ilm usul al-fiqh, like lugha arabiya language,
yes,
grammar language, it used to exist, but as a separate crystallized, you know, formulated science was not there.
Sure.
Okay, so now we understand that among the higher aims and objectives of Sharia, ibadatullah. Ibadatullah leads to what? Establishing justice. Mm-hmm. Leads to what? Promoting what is good and prohibiting what is evil.
Yes.
Leads to establishing peace and security.
Mm.
And by the way, okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to Medina, what was the first hadith he mentioned?
I don't know.
Yeah, this is an interesting, and let me give this as a gift for our brothers and sisters in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how to, and this is, this hadith, I wrote different academic papers. I presented them in different academic conferences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how to establish the Islamic State.
Yes.
Reflection upon one hadith.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah, reflection on one hadith. I submitted different papers, and I remember I gave khutbah about this hadith during the time of, just before the time of Mursi, and in the beginning of the time of Mursi, may Allah Jalla Ala have rahmah on him, in Ameen. Egypt.
Ameen.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he came to Medina, he clarified his manifesto to run Medina, to rule Medina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? He said, أيها الناس. So he is addressing what?
People.
All the people, not believers, because he knows that in Medina there will be believers and there will be disbelievers. There will be the people of the book, the Christians, and maybe atheists, etc.
The Jews.
Yeah, Jews. Mainly Jews, Muslims, and maybe Christians, and of course,
yeah, pagans. And we see this in the Treaty of Medina.
Yes. What did he say? Ayyuha an-nas, afshu salam.
SubhanAllah.
Spread
peace.
Peace. Yeah, which means that he knows that the higher aim and objective of what, of my mission as a prophet, is to establish peace. And just by common sense, you are coming to run a country. What is priority number one for a human beings?
Peace.
Peace. Afshu salam. Then, wa at'imu at'am. Share food.
Feed the poor.
Basically. Feed the poor. Which is what? Which is economical peace and security. Economical security. Yes? And then, wa silu al-arham. Maintain the ties of kinship. Social security. Of course, I'm summarizing it. Yes, otherwise, the benefits of that are huge. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, you will enter Jannah peacefully. This is what I promise you, that you will enter Jannah. Let us not be diverted and... Now, the first dua in the Quran. What is the first dua in the Quran after the dua of guidance, of asking Allah Jalla Ala guidance? Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim in Surah Al-Fatiha. The first dua mentioned in the Quran is the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he wanted to what? When he made dua for Mecca. What was it? Rabbi ij'al hadha baladan amina. Oh Allah, make this country as a safe, secure country.
Or city, yeah.
Or city, yeah. So what is it? Peace. The Prophet ﷺ said, Afshu salam, peace. So Ibrahim said, peace. Ya Allah, give them peace. See, you can you see the match between both?
Absolutely.
Yeah, this confirms the theory. And then what did he say? اجعل هذا بلدا آمنا. And then وارزق أهله من الثمرات. Feed them. The Prophet ﷺ said وأطعم الطعام. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Okay, you see the similarities.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's وارزق أهله من symmetry. Exact. وارزق أهله من الثمرات من آمن منهم بالله واليوم الآخر. قال ومن كفر. Which is what? Which is the spiritual connection with Allah جل وعلا. So, as Muslims, how to establish a country And I'm telling also the I wrote an article meant to be for Taliban when they took over.
Yes.
And same thing, yani this can be applied to Syria. Priority number one is what?
Peace.
Yeah? There is no da'wah if there is no peace.
So, Sheikh, that means Muslims are people of peace, people of salam.
We will come to that. Maybe we'll have a we'll have a long session about
sure,
it.
Sure, sure.
Okay. Peace in the country.
Absolutely.
There will be. If you go to, and then the second one is peace in terms of economy. Security in terms of economy.
Economic stability, yeah.
Economic stability or security. Mm. If you go to a homeless person and you start giving him da'wah, will he listen? He will say, man, feed me first, I'm hungry. And then talk to me about Islam. Yes or no? If people are killing each other, will there be any room for da'wah?
Mm.
If there is civic...
unrest, yeah.
Yeah, outrest or chaos.
Yes.
Yeah? And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Meccan period, there was no jihad. Because jihad, then it will be civic war.
Mm.
Civil war. Yeah? Civil war, there will be no da'wah. Peace is mandatory, is one of the highest aims and objectives of Sharia.
Mm.
Establishing justice, promoting what is good, prohibiting what is evil, is what? These are the higher aims and objectives of Sharia that lead to establishing what? Security and peace.
Mm.
Okay. So these are the top high aims and objectives of Sharia.
So the question now is, how do we use these in the modern world? And how do we do it in a way that we navigate the specifics?
Okay.
So we don't want to go too fast with our minds and think, okay, well, you know, Islam says promote peace, security, but then to take it to the degree where it now undermines the specific rulings of Islam.
Okay.
Or if there happens to be a particular friction between a particular ruling and what we perceive to be the higher objective, how do we navigate that space?
Excellent. Can I just, before answering this question, because this is a very valid question. Yeah, yes. This is the crux of the matter, as they say. Yeah.
MashaAllah.
Let me just, when I talk about ibadah, let me just mention something that is, I mentioned it sometimes, and many people said, you know, Sheikh, wallahi, what this really have a transformational effect on our life.
Mm-mm.
When we say ibadah, the essence of ibadah is the glorification of Allah.
Mm.
The essence of ibadah is what? The glorification of Allah. What does that mean? That you glorify Allah. Allah is the biggest. Allah is the highest. Allah is the greatest. No one will worship Allah unless he believes that he is the greatest, the biggest, the most magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And after that comes the love of Allah.
Mm.
And then the fear of Allah.
But one would argue as well, Sheikh, that, you know, if worship is like the peak, the summit, the height of submission and the height of love, glorifying Allah is a natural expression of that. If I love something the most, if I submit myself to something the most, naturally, I am glorifying that entity.
Yeah. Let us not get into this discussion, this okay. before this or that sure. before this. But just one question. How do you submit to someone? What motivates you to submit to someone? What motivates you to love someone the most?
By virtue of who that being is.
Yes.
Yes.
So yeah. unless you
Allah's
believe
name
that
and attributes, he's the highest. He's,
uh-huh.
he's
unless you believe that he's the greatest.
Of course. Well, that you can never submit to
someone who is not the greatest.
Yes. Yeah, so it's not really submission.
Yes. So that's why we say the essence of ibadah is what?
And yeah, of course. And you can't love.
It's glorifying Allah, and you cannot love someone who is not the greatest in your life.
Absolutely, or the one who is the most loving. Or the lovingly merciful, his Al-Rahman, his Al-Wudud, his Al-Bar, he's the greatest benefactor.
Yes. Right? So that's why.
Agreed. Good point.
Yeah.
So it's, we worship Allah, we love Allah, we glorify Allah by virtue of who He is.
Of who He is.
Absolutely. And that's why if you want to worship Allah more, you learn His names and attributes.
And that's why, brothers, please, brothers and sisters, I say, please, whenever you do any act of ibadah, don't do it as what? A tick box. I prayed dhuhr, tick. Prayed. This might, you know, it will, inshallah, remove the obligation.
Sure.
But the best ibadah is when you what? You worship Him because you want to glorify Him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
Allahu Akbar.
Yes. When you read Quran, you read because you want to glorify Him.
Mm.
And brothers, please do put that in your mind that you want to glorify Allah. Wallahi, that will motivate you to pray. Yeah, more. That will glorify, that will encourage you to do more tasbih of Allah Jalla wa'ala. That will motivate you to enjoy anything that comes from Allah Jalla wa'ala, because you want to glorify Him more.
So Shaykh, that was a very insightful point. And I've used that actually, because you taught me this many years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this whole discussion of, should we recite the Quran even if we don't know the meaning?
Mm-hmm.
I know there's that big debate. Yes, of course, you have to, the whole point of the Quran, the objective of the Quran is for guidance. For yes. Sure. But you framed it very
interesting. See, we have to be careful. One of the objectives of the Quran.
Because it's a shifa, as always, a healing and so on and so forth. But one thing that you said was amazing. Recite the Quran with the intention to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
That changes everything. It changes the debate. Right?
Wallahi, wallahi.
Although I do really believe that you need to do tadabbur of the Quran, ponder over the Quran. You know, when Allah says, do they not ponder over the Quran or their locks on their hearts? Meaning, the more you ponder, the more your heart will be open to Allah's mercy and guidance. So in my view, and you can correct me on this, one of the highest goals of the Quran is for guidance, right?
Yes.
It's not just to recite.
Definitely.
But if you don't know the Arabic or you don't access the meaning, reciting it, if you have the intention to glorify Allah, is rewardable.
Of course.
Yes.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, yeah. But you changed that for me, because there is a debate even amongst the...
I know. Yeah. I know. Why? Because we evaluate everything in a very mathematical way. We evaluate everything
that's
according
to... coming from an engineer.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mashallah. That's why I...
You have been... You've progressed, Sheikh. Into the liberal arts and the humanities.
No, that's why I said I don't agree with engineering.
Yeah. It's too binary, Sheikh.
Exactly.
I don't like
exactly
it.
Too binary. Black and white.
I have this, sorry, this might be a bit personal, but I have this view that I wouldn't really go to a Sheikh if his background is very binary.
Yes.
Because you're dealing with social nuances.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know if I trust your ability to apply the Quran and Sunnah in this context.
Yes.
Because you don't know how to ask the right questions.
Absolutely.
What's the context? What was the intention? What was the social variables? These are deep questions.
In fact, most of the Sharia is not binary.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Most of the Sharia is not binary, brothers
and
sisters.
That's another podcast, inshallah.
Yeah, inshallah. Yeah. Now we have many. Just recall them. So, yeah, the list. Okay, so now...
So going back to the main question, how do we now apply the maqasid?
But I want the brothers and sisters, just to summarize, please, brothers and sisters, think of the glorification of Allah Jalla Ala in all of your acts. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, you will love Allah. You will enjoy, you know, you will enjoy just talking to Allah. You will enjoy believing in Allah. You will enjoy yourself because you feel that Allah is the closest to you. Yeah, you will enjoy making istighfar. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, I swear by Allah that when you commit a sin, you will make istighfar out of embarrassment before out of fear that Allah Jalla wa'ala is going to punish you. Yes, it is. Wallahi, it transforms you. You will live in the paradise of the dunya when you glorify Allah Jalla wa'ala like this. You will have an intimate relationship with Allah, and you will have a romantic relationship with Allah. And you know, now when we talk about this, they say, oh, this is a Sufi approach. Call it whatever you call it, but this is the reality. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِنُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ.
They love Allah
more than anyone. See, not more than they love anything else. No. Way beyond that. More than anything loves anything else.
SubhanAllah. Even Ibn Taymiyyah said that you taste the paradise of the dunya, which is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Oh, yes. But when you do it, what? Not to tick the box. Of course, sometimes we are tired, etc. Do it. But always what? Try to encourage yourself to what?
Sheikh, for
to
example,
do it out of glorification.
I'm driving.
Out of love.
Yeah, I'm driving. Say in the evening, the adhkar, you say one of them is Subhanallah wa bihamdihi 100 times. Sometimes your mind goes elsewhere. Yeah. Sometimes you're tired. But even if you're doing it mechanically, what has helped me is what you've said. The very fact I'm doing it is because I'm glorifying
exactly.
Allah.
Exactly.
Yes. So if your mind drifts or it's mechanical, don't let shaitan think, oh, you're not doing it properly. Yeah. Don't let shaitan make you think that, right?
Absolutely.
So this is a great thing. It changes everything.
Yeah.
Emotionally.
And subhanAllah, it makes you yani more encouraged to do ibadah, and the ibadah is easier for you. Yeah? You understand the real intent behind it. Okay. Now, let us come to your point, because we are coming to the end of this session, although this really
we'll need
this
a part
discussion,
two, to be honest.
Yeah. Now, let me mention something minor, but it is major. The high aim and objective of Sharia, ibadatullah, that leads to established justice. Anything that goes against injustice, that is not from Sharia.
So anything that goes against justice is not from Islam.
Anything that goes justice?
Yes.
Is not from Sharia.
Okay.
Simple. So if you apply any Islamic ruling and that leads to, as you said, it is it goes against a higher aim and objective of Sharia, then stop. Stop. There is something wrong in your application of that.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah, that's why this is needed even for our brothers and sisters in Syria to understand how to implement now Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the context is different. There are minorities. There are women who are asking for their rights. They have the Zionist next to them. They have these challenges. They have. So if they think in a micro way. This is another discussion. If they think in a micro way, they cannot run the country.
Mm.
They need to start thinking what?
Macro.
In a macro way. And they need to think of these higher aims and objectives of Sharia like this. So priority number one, yes, establishing justice.
But a detractor or an objector might say, you know, someone listening or watching, but you can't do that by going against the particulars.
Yes. And if you go against particulars, it means that you understand those particulars wrongly, or you are applying them wrongly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because maybe they haven't understood the context.
Yes.
Because
that's
there's
why
law and applied law.
Applied law.
Yes.
That's why Umar ibn al-Khattab stopped certain punishments during the famine.
Yes.
Because if he applies it, which is from Sharia,
yes,
it will go against what?
Yes.
Justice. It will not be just to them.
But to be clear, that's not going against the law. It's applying the law in the correct way.
Yes.
Because if there's a famine, it's going to encourage people to steal out of necessity.
Yes.
And if you're going to now cut the hand of the thief because they were starving,
yes,
that's not justice.
That is not justice.
Yeah, for sure.
See? And that's why when we say brothers and sisters have those aims, teach them to younger children.
Mm.
Younger children. You know, when I give khutbas, so many people come to me and they say, oh, Sheikh, you know, when we were young, we were hitting and shoplifting and, young people, they think that. And then now we knew that, oh, we committed injustice. And Allah will not forgive it. Yes? So what to do? And listen, when you teach the ummah, that your ibadah is connected to establishing justice, they will not lower their heads for an unjust ruler.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah? Because they know that we cannot survive. Islam cannot survive fully with this level of injustice. And this what happened in Syria.
Mm.
Yeah? And that's why Allah Jalla wa'ala, this confirms that justice is one of the highest aims of Sharia, is the highest aim of Sharia, which is the second face of, or the other face of ibadah.
Mm-mm.
Allah Jalla wa'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kunu qawwamina lillahi shuhada'a bilqist. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, in the other verse, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kunu qawwamina bilqist shuhada'a lillah. Mm-mm. All you who believe, establish justice, stand for justice.
Yes. Be steadfast witnesses for Allah in justice.
Yes. So, and see, now.
And do not let the hatred of others make you swear from justice.
From justice. Yeah. Now, just briefly, because, you know, even yourself, sometimes, when you know that these are the higher aims and objectives of Sharia, at home, for your son in the tarbiyah of your children, you need to overlook some of their minor mistakes to achieve what?
Higher goals.
Higher goals.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah? You need to overlook certain...
My wife does that with me all the time.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, yeah. But this is something that we need to what?
Yes.
We need to promote. Mm. To promote among people that let us think, okay, from... let us think of Sharia from a holistic way. And by the way, this is the only way we can use these guidelines in order to build or to rebuild ourselves as a civilization.
But this is hikmah,
this is hikmah.
Yes.
If we think micro, we will not be able to build countries, let alone build civilizations. If we think micro, we need to think macro in order to build what? Civilizations, in order to compete with other civilizations that what that do exist now, and then we show them, yes, we show them the justice of Islam. Yeah, well,
this is known in our history, Sheikh. For example, you know, we were talking about a Syrian context when Heraclius was governing Syria. He was really bad to the different Christian minorities. In actual fact, many of them saw him as a heretic. He was very oppressive. And they actually preferred Muslim rule over Heraclius.
Of course.
And because justice lived under Islam. And, you know, we even have, for example, the situation in Gaza, the only time where Muslims, Jews and Christians lived peacefully, the only time, was under Islam. Karen Armstrong, the popular historian, says this: the Muslims created a system of governance that for the first time, and now the only time, that Muslims, Jews and Christians live peacefully.
When the Inquisition took place, the Jews, where did they flee to?
Ottomans.
Yeah. Ottoman Empire.
There's a really good book by Philip Mansouk on Constantinople. He cites a primary source from a rabbi, Sheikh. He says, "All my brethren, my brothers, come to the land of the Turks. Rich are the fruits of the earth. We live in peace and freedom, and we're not hindered or oppressed by heavy taxes or something like this."
There are many yeah. Jewish historians who have mentioned this. I used to quote one book in my PhD.
Sheikh, there's a Jewish historian called Zain Zohar. He wrote about the Iberian Peninsula. And when Muslims took over the Iberian Peninsula, he says that the Jews saw the Muslims as liberators from Christian persecution.
Course. Yeah.
You even have a book called A World Within. It's two volumes, Sheikh. You love it because it's to do with Ottoman law. It's written by Amnon Cohen. He collects around
1,000
records,
yes,
Sheikh.
Yes, yes.
1,000 Ottoman records. And he says, although the Jews had the freedom, right, to go to the rabbinical courts, the rabbis, the rabbinical courts, a substantial majority went to the Islamic judge.
Yeah.
And he goes to the minutiae. Yeah. He even sees that Jewish women were complaining about nafaqah, maintenance, from their husbands.
Yeah.
So even, you know, we have a rich tradition, Sheikh.
Yeah. And just finally, because
of course.
Now, subhanAllah, recently, just today, someone collected clips from Iraqi Shia. Yeah. It is ajeeb. The first time I have seen it, sports people, lay people, thinkers,
mm-mm.
They said, listen, do you want Iraq to be stable? It should be run by Sunnis.
SubhanAllah.
Yes. Wallahi, it is amazing. This is the first time I looked at it. And some of them I know these are well-known people. They said, see, we Shia have just slapping ours. No, Muslim, Sunnis, they have a complete system of governance.
Mm-mm.
And they are known historically for their justice. And they say, if you want Iraq to be a stable country, it should be run by Sunnis. We cannot run it as Shia.
Mm-mm.
So this goes hand in hand in what you have mentioned. I think we are running out of time.
Sheikh. So listen,
okay.
This was mind-blowing. May Allah bless you and reward you. You have a book coming out on this issue.
Inshallah.
Which when it comes out, we'll talk about. We'll do another podcast as well. And we promote it as well.
Bi-idhanillah.
And it'll be in English and Arabic, yes?
Yes.
Good. Maybe we could do a version where the English and Arabic are together.
Yes.
It'd be fantastic.
Yep.
So it could be studied by students of knowledge and many others.
Yes.
May Allah preserve you. But there's so much more to say. There's lots of nuances about moral philosophy.
Yes.
And how to unpack potential friction. How do you apply it in the modern world?
Yeah.
But that's for another time, Sheikh.
Yes.
But what we've done today, I don't think exists in the English language. May Allah bless you and preserve you. Jazakallah khair. And we have to go to an event now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair.